But wouldn't it be great if you and I could find a way to make sure that no matter how far our children traveled and strayed, they would always come home? Now, I know some of you are clapping while others are saying, Pastor, the one thing I don't want is for them to come home.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The broadcast this evening is a message delivered to the saints at Germantown Christian Assembly by Pastor Brian Grant on this past Father's Day. The message is entitled, Keys to Successful Parenting, and it is part of Pastor Grant's ongoing series on the book of Ephesians, with the main text this evening being Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We invite you to turn there now, if you have your Bibles, and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Keys to Successful Parenting. Here now is Pastor Grant.
The journey home of the Pacific salmon is one of nature's most exciting dramas. The Pacific salmon is born in freshwater rivers or streams, and these freshwater rivers will eventually dump them into the ocean. They stay in the ocean probably 5 or 6 years, and during those 5 or 6 years, the Pacific salmon will cover 1,000 or 2,000 miles from the river where they were hatched. But somewhere about 5 years in the ocean, the Pacific salmon decides to come home. Amazingly, although they may be 1,000 or 2,000 miles away from where they were born, these salmon are able to bypass every river and every stream, and 1,000 or 2,000 miles away, they are able to locate the exact river where they were born. Amazingly, the minute they hit the river of origin, they stop eating. And using stored energy, the Pacific salmon is able to swim upstream about 30 miles per day until he gets to exactly where in the river he was born. Cheryl and I were in a park in Alaska some years ago, watching, trying to get a view of the Pacific salmon coming home. But there was only one problem. There were some big signs in the park, and the sign said, caution, bears. Immediately, my wife seemed very perturbed. I was perturbed, but I wasn't showing it because I had to look like the macho man. And so she said, let's go. I said, why are we going? She said, because there are bears. I said, honey, they taught us what to do if we run into a bear. I said, they taught us that if you run into a bear, you stand on the tippy toes and you hold your hand up as high as you can and you try to make yourself as tall as you can. And once the bear sees how tall you are, the bear is going to turn around and run. And so she said to me, suppose the bear wasn't told he's supposed to run. What are we going to do? Well, I didn't really have an answer for that possibility. Although, to be honest, when they gave us this teaching, I was a little suspicious of the training myself. So we decided we'd walk away. But you know, we eventually found a spot that was safe and where the Pacific salmon was on their last leg home. And I tell you, it was dramatic. These salmon, they were continuously launching themselves upstream, constantly jumping out the water and launching themselves upstream as they tried to make it home. But do you know, as soon as the salmon got home, as soon as they got to the spot in the river where they were hatched, where they were spawned, the female lays her egg, the male fertilizes the egg, and soon after, they both die. They had come home, and they had continued the circle of life. Scientists are still trying to figure out, how in the world can a salmon travel over 1,000 miles from the river and not only find the river of origin, but find the spot in the river where they were born? The scientists haven't figured that out. But wouldn't it be great if you and I could find a way to make sure that no matter how far our children traveled and strayed, they would always come home. Now, I know some of you are clapping while others are saying, Pastor, the one thing I don't want is for them to come home. Pastor, you don't know how hard it was for me to get them out. The last thing I want is for them to come back home. But I wasn't really thinking about coming home physically while they're alive or when they died. I was really thinking about, wouldn't it be great if somehow the values we plant in our children, that no matter what happened in their lives, they would eventually come back to these values that we planted in them. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Is that really true? You know, some sociologists from Harvard University by the name of Gluck, many years ago, they did some research, and these sociologists came to realize that there are four very important conditions that if these conditions are found in any family, if they took a sample that of children 5 or 6 years old whose family exhibited these conditions in their home, they found that every sample they did, over 90% of those children always ended up being well-adjusted children who did not shame their parents or exhibit any antisocial behavior. Did you hear what I said? The Glucks were able to take children, and then when it was believed that this could not apply in the inner city, they took a sample, they went to Washington, D.C., into one of the toughest neighborhoods, and the school system sent to them 190-something kids, the most troubled children, 5 or 6 years old. Because, you see, the beauty is, even if the kid is acting up when they're young, like me, you see, they're saying, if the family dynamics, if there are certain four critical factors, they're saying that 90% or more of those children will end up not developing antisocial or delinquent behaviors. What are those four qualities? What are those four factors? The interesting thing, which makes me even want to talk about them, is because they only discovered something that the Bible had already said. You see, all four things that they brought to the fore are things that the Bible actually already taught us. And so this morning, I want to use some of their study. I want to share with you the four things they shared from a biblical context. Amen? As I bring you this message entitled, Keys to Successful Parenting. Key number one, the father's discipline. Key number one, the father's discipline. The study found that a father taking responsibility for discipline in his home is a key predictor, is one of the predictors of the future behavior of his children. I don't want you to miss that. A father, listen, fathers should assume leadership for discipline in their home. You know, in that passage we read this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you so we can all see it in the same version. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. God says, fathers, make sure to bring up your children with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. A father's role in discipline is very important. Now, don't get me wrong, mom's role is very important too. The ideal is for both mom and dad to be working together to discipline their children, amen? But there is something special about a father's discipline. You see, at home, I only had two brothers, you know one very well. The other one you see from time to time. He was here a few weeks ago. We're only three boys. And let's Let's be honest. If you ask him, he'll admit, agree with me. Mom would discipline us, but it was sort of weak. It was sort of light. Can I be honest? It was no big deal. But when my dad disciplined us, that was a different story. I remember I feared my dad's discipline so much that one day, as he was about to come down and give me a whipping, I ran out the room, I ran out the house, I ran out the yard, I ran up the street. And my dad, he calmly came to the gate and he called to me and he said, "Don't worry, you'll eventually have to come home." And he said, "And I'll be waiting." And you see, my dad was like some of us dads, because part of the problem with child rearing today is that parents promise to do something, they promise to discipline, but they don't ever carry it out. Am I right about that? But you see, my dad was a man of his word. If he told you he was going to give you an allowance, you got the money. If he told you he was going to discipline you, and there he was waiting for me, and I got my job. He did a job on me. Amen? But I thank God for my dad, because were it not for his firm hand and his discipline, he eventually broke a rebellious streak in me. That's for another day to hear some of my stuff. But God, my father had to take control. And I want to ask you, fathers, you know, our society has had a role reversal. And more, the mothers are doing all the discipline. And sometimes, to be honest, some moms don't even want dad to discipline. But that's not God's way. And the studies have indicated that this actually, a father in his involvement in discipline actually is very impacting on the child. And I want to encourage you young fathers in particular, those who are fathers now and those who will become fathers, listen, don't miss that responsibility. But listen, it's easy for us to talk about discipline, but I don't want you to miss something, because the same scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 verse number 4 that talks about disciplining and the father's responsibility, it also gives us a warning. I don't want you to miss it, because Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Listen, this is important. Listen, this is important. Fathers should avoid aggravating their children.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You see, the same thing is repeated very similar. Something very similar is repeated in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, where the Bible tells us, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Some Bible versions put it this way. It says, "Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will be discouraged." So the Bible is saying that fathers need to take responsibility for leadership, but it is also warning fathers not to aggravate them. Dad, the fact that God specifically tells us twice, it tells me that God is saying that men, fathers, are more likely to aggravate their children than mothers are. Fathers are more likely to provoke their children to anger. And daddy, make sure you seize your responsibility. But dad, as you seize the responsibility, God is warning you, caution, caution, caution. You had better do it responsibly and carefully, lest you go to the other extreme. So let me share with you very quickly two ways to provoke your children to anger. Number one way to provoke them into anger is by unfair or abusive discipline. I did my share of unfair discipline. I'd get involved, I'd hear what something is going on, and without even finding all the facts, I just figure sin is involved. Let me discipline everybody. And so I had to go and apologize to the children, because he said, when God finishes saying, but what you did was not right. And parents, don't be afraid to apologize to your children when you realize you were wrong. Do you do any apologizing, or do you take this high and mighty position? I am the father, I am the mother, I am the dad, I can do whatever I want to do. No, no, no. When you are wrong, when you have done something to aggravate that child because you were on fear, you need to apologize. That goes a much further way than you might think. I am telling you from experience. You might be shocked to know what happens when you go to your child and tell them, Daddy was wrong in what he did. But don't be unfair, but don't be abusive. But that's a subject all by itself. And I'm going to suggest to you, if you're not sure how far to go, listen, there are some great websites out there. One, Focus on the Family, has a lot of material about how to discipline your child. Hey, you can go on and look around. But number one, unfair or abusive discipline. But another way, there are more ways, but another one is to, by thoughtless words. You know, when we were kids, you ever heard them say, sticks and stones may break my bones. You see, if you're Brazilian, if you speak Portuguese, you might not have heard that expression. That's all right. They say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words cannot harm me. Is a lie. Words hurt. Words hurt. And the problem is that years later, that child remembers the word, the hurtful, damaging words you said. And so God says, listen, don't provoke your children to anger. Be very careful with the words you say. And here are five words not to say. Number one, nothing. Okay, you say, Pastor, that's not a word. Here's what I'm trying to say, in case you miss it. There are some fathers who absolutely say nothing. If the child does something good, they say. If the child does something bad, they say. They say nothing. That ain't good. That ain't good. Don't be like a bump on a log. But secondly, Dad, don't ever give the impression or say, I don't believe in you. And the third is similar to, I don't believe in you. The third is, you're such a disappointment. Do parents do that? Now, some parents won't actually say, you are such a disappointment. But they'll say, I'm disappointed in what you did. You see, it's okay to be disappointed in an action the child took. But here's the problem. If all you are is disappointed in actions, come with me now. If you never ever say what you are proud about and what you are pleased about, if all you pick at are the things you are disappointed about, that child is going to interpret your saying that you are disappointed in me. Because listen, if you can never make a deposit into the child's self-esteem account, be careful that all you're doing are making withdrawals. And so God wants us to be very careful. We provoke our children to anger when we convey, either because we actually say it or because we are always disappointed in everything. God says, don't provoke that child to anger. But here's the big one. You ready for the big one, number four? Why can't you be like your sibling? Why can't you be like, you ever heard anybody say that? Why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be like your brother? And I tell you, once you say that, a dagger goes through the child's heart. A dagger. You know, here's the funny thing. Most parents who do that, they mean well, because they think they are motivating the child. Do you realize that? They're trying to motivate the child because they're seeing this child doing so well, and they're hoping that when I say that to you, I'm going to motivate you. Parent, I'm going to tell you, it does not work, because what you end up doing is comparing me with somebody else, and you are saying he is better than I am, and it is a totally kill joy. It is the worst thing you can do. And I'm going to ask you, my friend, if you're a parent, you got to fix some of those things. Don't start comparing your child with some other sibling. These things are counterproductive. And then finally, as I talk about these five things not to say to your children, don't say anything negative about their mother. Oh, you know, sometimes we got a fight going on, and want the guy on my side. I want little Jimmy on my side. And I tell little Jimmy some bad things about mom. You know, this is particularly true when mom and dad may be separated or whatever. Listen, even if you're separated, don't say anything bad about mom. Amen? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Number one, father should assume leadership for discipline. But secondly, the mother's supervision. The research showed that a mother's supervision was also very, very important. You see, what they found out, that mothers need to be so active in their child's life that she always knows where her child is. Are you with me? Mom needs to be so involved with her child that she always knows where her child is. She is supervising the child even when the child is not in her presence. She knows where he is. She knows what he or she is up to or supposed to be up to. Amen? What does the Bible have to say about this? Turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter 2. Read from Titus chapter 2. Just a couple verses there in verses 3 to 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. And the Apostle Paul, in the first couple verses, he speaks to the men and the older men. And now here in verse 3, he says to the older women, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands. By the way, this is not for today's message. But ladies, don't miss that. Older women, don't miss. There ought to be a connection between the older woman and the younger woman. Don't take the position that they don't want me in their business, so I'm not going to be involved. Because my Bible says that the older women are to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The unchangeable word of God is telling us something. And the unchangeable word of God is saying to a mom and to a wife, listen, you ought to be loving your husband. You ought to be taking care of your husband. You ought to be taking care of your children. Hey, you ought to be taking care of your home. Now, some people don't like these verses. And they will say, you know, these verses are trying to deny women the right to work out of the home. But they're wrong. Because these verses are not denying anybody any rights. These verses are not about your rights. It's about responsibilities. And what these verses are saying, that no matter what a mom might decide to do, she has certain responsibilities to her family. Listen, men has responsibilities. Women have responsibilities. And God says, because of the responsibilities, as we study the scripture, because of the responsibilities he has given a mom in the home, he has also given mom special abilities that no one else can do as well as a mother can.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.